Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message.
And every time I take you through a step and a stage in Jesus' life and his interaction with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to take you also to the scriptures to show you in the scriptures in the New Testament where it says we too can move just like Jesus moved. So the first thing is that Jesus was born by the Spirit. Amen. Look at Matthew 1 verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus is called the Son of God. He didn't have an earthly father. His father was God. But he was born of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said this, humans, you are exactly the same way. This is exactly how you first get access to my Spirit, is when you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are born of the Spirit. The Spirit comes into your life. Day one begins. The day you invite Jesus into your life, he comes and dwells and resides in you by the Spirit. So now the dimension of our spirit life has begun in that first day. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Most assuredly, Jesus speaking, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You had a first birth. Do you know what your first birth was? The devil gave you a gift called your flesh. And depending on how you lived your life, to the degree of sin that you got involved with, depended on how you yielded to your flesh. How does a human being become a serial killer? Let me tell you how. He yields his life to the sinful nature and to the flesh. That's the gift that you were born with, your sinful nature. And that sinful nature is what Jesus eradicated on the cross in order for you to now live a life not being led by your flesh and yielding to your flesh. And the principle works exactly the same on how dynamic your Christian life can be. Look at this scripture, Romans 6:13. Neither yield your members, that's part of your body, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You can have the Holy Spirit and never yield to the Holy Spirit. Hello? The goal is not how do I get the Holy Spirit, but how the Holy Spirit gets more of me. There's many Christians that have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have them? Who's in charge? The second access into a deeper life with the Holy Spirit is allowing him to fill us, be filled with the Spirit. When Jesus was at his baptism, I won't go through all the scriptures, you can note them down for the sake of time. But when Jesus was getting water baptized by John the Baptist, the Father's voice boomed from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased with. And then the Holy Spirit came down and descended on Jesus as a dove and alighted upon him. And he was filled with the Spirit. So first of all, Jesus was born by the Spirit. Then he was filled by the Spirit. And in likewise manner, this is the scripture to you and I, Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Ooh, flash word, we're going to look into that. But be filled, command, not optional. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what we call in term being baptized. The word of baptized means to be immersed. It means allowing the Spirit who's in you to immerse you in himself. If you can imagine like a glass of water, you receive Jesus and maybe your glass is half full, and when you allow the Holy Spirit to immerse you, your cup runneth over with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And there's a command there, and I just want to park on this just for a bit. And I'm not here to be a legalist, but isn't it interesting that Paul uses the allegory of alcohol? He says, don't be drunk with wine, or don't be filled with wine, and which is dissipation. What does dissipation mean? It means an overindulgence in sensual pleasures. When you are filled with the wrong spirit, called alcohol, guess what happens? You lose self-control. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what you have? You have self-control. Wrong spirit. And this is what I found. This is what I found in my own life. I was a heavy drinker before coming to Christ. And then in later years, you know, there's been a lot of stuff going around the body of Christ. Yeah, it's okay to drink, just drink in moderation, everything else like that. And that's all okay. But this is what I've discovered. The less we have of the Holy Spirit, the more we need to entertain ourselves with alternatives to try and fill the vacuum that should have been there in the first place with your relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's why he says, don't be filled with wine. It could be, don't be filled with Netflix. Don't be filled with all these, don't overindulge your physical senses with all this stuff, but rather get filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about that in the name of Jesus. So whatever excess you are giving access to in your life, it's probably because you haven't given enough access to the Holy Spirit to come and fill you today. And it's left a vacuum that you're trying to fill with other things. It could be anything. It can be healthy, so-called healthy pursuits. It could be sport. It could be people. It could be focusing on getting wealthy. It could be all those things. But if it's given excess in your life, then what's going to happen is that you're going to shrink down the influence of the Holy Spirit in you and no longer be able to be in that place of being filled and led by the Spirit of God. John 7:38 says, hey, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit who had not yet been given. So what is he saying? He's saying there's an on tap, ready fountain and access within you that wherever you are, you can draw upon the fountain like your tap that's connected to the water mains in your house. You can go to your tap anytime you like and turn it on and get water and go to the Holy Spirit, turn on the tap and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water to you and to those who are around you. Praise God today. And when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, and I don't demean these things, but you know, anxiety causes, Proverbs says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. We have never had a more anxious generation than we're living in now. But you know what the second half of that proverb says? But a good word makes his heart glad. How do you get a good word? The Holy Spirit will quicken the word into your spirit right when you need it, when you're feeling anxious, worried, concerned. Turn the tap on to the Holy Spirit. Let the fountain flow. Let rivers of living water begin to come forth. And guess what happens? The negativity, the anxiety will be drowned with rivers of living water flowing out of you and out of me. Hallelujah. So the first dimension of our relationship and going deeper with the Holy Spirit is being born by the Spirit. Jesus was born by the Spirit. He said, you can't see and enter the kingdom without being born of the Spirit. And then we come where he says the second dimension is to be filled by the Spirit. And the third dimension of going deeper with God is then we're being led by the Spirit. Notice what happened to Jesus. And I'm going to speed up. Notice what happened to Jesus. This is what happened to him. After he was baptized, water baptized, and filled with the Holy Spirit, this is what the scripture says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit. So to be led by the Spirit, you need first of all to be filled with the Spirit. Are you feeling a little confused about your direction in life at the moment? I want to ask you, have you been filled by the Spirit? Because when you get filled by the Spirit, you get led by the Spirit. And it just eradicates so much confusion within our life about what we should be doing and where we should be. And Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So there's the progression. Born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. Now we can be led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. So how do I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Here's one of the most practical secrets I can give to you, because so many Christians ask me this question. Whatever, and I'll give you an answer, it's this. Whatever you are filled with and filled by, that is what you will be led by. Whatever you're filled by, whatever you're led by, whatever you're filling your life with, that's eventually going to be what leads your life. So what are you giving access to within your life in an overindulgent manner that is now taking the leadership reins of your life instead of the Holy Spirit taking the reins of your life? Notice that the Bible says that Jesus wasn't led until he was filled. Yes. Amen. So if we're just filled with self, you'll only hear the voice of you. How many get sick of that voice? You know, the Spirit doesn't scream. I found the Spirit whispers to me. He speaks softly to me. So if he speaks softly to me, I love you, James. If I'm standing way down the back of the hall and he's speaking softly to me and I'm not in his proximity and I'm not near to him, I'm not going to hear his voice. Your proximity to the Spirit will determine whether you can hear the voice of the Spirit. Get closer to the Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah. The nearer you are to him, the clearer you will hear him. It's as simple as that. Get near to hear. Yeah. Get near to hear. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. So, you know, there's been so many situations I've been involved in where the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. So many situations. And the more I kind of park on that, the more I could just feed you example after example after example in my life. Because when we draw near to him, the scripture says he'll draw near to you. It's as simple as that. It's a simple equation. The problem is we've allowed too many things to contend for the space that belongs to him. And we haven't given him the platform he needs to whisper in our ear and get a closer proximity to him to be able to hear his voice. And this is what I've understood. As a young Christian, as I began to wait in my prayer time and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to speak to me about today? I would get visions. I would get pictures of people's faces. And then I'd say to the Lord, why are you showing me that person's face? Then the Holy Spirit would give me instructions what to do. I remember the first time I was waiting on the Holy Spirit and he said to me, I want you to go to this address. I want you to knock on the door and wait for my instructions. It's my first year of pastoring. I was 24 years old. So I felt uncomfortable. I felt like, so you want me to become a Jehovah's Witness? You know, knocking on people's doors. So I wrestled with that, going to a complete stranger's house, this address. And I squirmed. And I wriggled. And then I said, okay, Lord. So I went around, knocked on the door. This middle-aged, lovely middle-aged woman. Hello, how are you? What's your name, sir? It was like, wow. It was like she was waiting for me. So I introduced myself. She said, come on in. What do you want to talk to me about? So we sat down with a cup of English breakfast tea. And I told her all about Jesus. And I said, do you want to have him in your life? She said, yes, please. And I led her to the Lord. And then she said, can you come around and tell the rest of my family members about Jesus? And I went back around and told the rest of the family about Jesus. See, this is what happens. If you obey the first prompt of the Holy Spirit, the next prompt he gives you will be clearer and louder. But if you deny and you squeeze out the prompt of the Holy Spirit, his prompts will get fainter and fainter. So it depends on your obedience to what he's telling you to do as to how clear his voice. What do you, I want to ask you a question. What do you do when you go to a person two or three times and you give them clear instructions, but they're not listening to you? What do you do? Someone says, I slap them. No, you're not allowed to slap them, all right? You're not allowed to slap them. I tell you what you do. You leave them alone and you go to the next person. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit will do to you if you keep ignoring the prompts that he gives you within his life. That's why you're not hearing him the way you should. When you obey that first prompt, his voice gets stronger and stronger. And I've got numerous stories of adventures and escapades that have resulted as me continuing to obey the voice of the Lord. I haven't always obeyed the voice of the Lord. There's been times when I've dug my toes in and I've felt the reprimand of the Spirit in my life. And what you will find is that that peace that passes all understanding, it disappears for a while when you're disobedient. And you know it's not there. And you try all sorts of things to try and get it back, but you know that what you need to do is just be obedient. And if you will obey, then you'll get that peace that passes all understanding to come back into your life. So let's not ignore, let's get near to hear, and let's begin to listen to what the Holy Spirit will do. And I've found that over the period of time is that the Holy Spirit will sometimes ask you to do something that you will just puke at. And if I'm allowed to use that word in church. Sometimes it will say, he'll speak and I'm not doing that. Why won't you do that, James? Because I just don't want to do that. Why is that? Because my pride is getting in the way, Lord. So God has to bend us in order to use us, because he can't work with a prideful spirit. When our pride is resisting him, then what will happen? He'll say, okay, I'll go and give this assignment to someone else. You're too proud to listen to me. You won't do what I want you to do. You won't bend to my voice. So, James, you're going to miss out this time. I'm going to give this assignment to somebody else. God wants to cause us to be so responsive to him that we don't need breaking. We willingly bend to what he wants us to do. And then you will find. Praise God. Fourthly today, we enter another dimension. What happened next to Jesus? He got led by the Spirit. He got born by the Spirit. He got filled by the Spirit. He got led by the Spirit. Where did he get led to? He got led into the wilderness. We don't like this part. He got led into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And he contended with his enemy, the devil. And do you know what fed him in the wilderness? What fed him was the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, Matthew 4:4, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he began to combat the lies of the devil every time the devil came to him. He contended with the devil because the word of God was his source. And in that time, God will often do this to people, who, especially people who are actually quite good at being led by the Spirit. A lot of people, like myself, who have had many incidences of being led by the Spirit that have led to supernatural, miraculous events, we're quite feely, touchy people. We're quite emotional people. And God sometimes has to take the emotional aspect out of us so that we're not being led by our emotions, but we're being led by the voice of the Spirit and by the Spirit of God in our dealings with Him. Amen. And so Ephesians 6:17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so that's what Jesus did when he was in the wilderness. Man, can you imagine being amongst, we're not talking about New Zealand, you know, where you've got sheep barring and cows mooing in the night. We're talking about scorpions and snakes slithering around, lions in the desert, you know. He's in the desert 40 days, 40 nights. He's not eating anything. He's going, Father, why have you led me into the wilderness? You know, this is a barren place. I feel like I'm in a barren place with you. I feel like my emotions are being messed with. And the Lord's got to teach us how to be led in such a way that we're not being ruled by our emotions and led by our emotions, but we've been led by the Spirit, and the Word of God will sustain us in those times. But in those times when you're in a wilderness experience, remember this, that God's silence to you is not God's absence to you. And sometimes we'll say, you've left me. Where are you, Lord? Look at what Job went through. And everybody tried to give him the remedy as to why bad things were happening within his life. But he held on to his relationship with God. So God's silence is not God's absence when it comes to being led by God in difficult seasons within our life. Lastly, this morning, we are empowered by the Spirit to see signs and wonders come out of our life. Please stop getting a picture in your mind of the Benny Hinns, the Bill Johnsons, the people who stand on stage and regularly see miracles happen through their ministry, that they are the only ones that can do signs and wonders. Because after this whole experience and sequence of going deeper with the Holy Spirit, guess what happened to Jesus when he returned 40 days and 40 nights? Let me read it to you. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He came out of that season of testing in the wilderness. He came back in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. Here he was. Action time. Because he was charged, he was filled, he was ready to go. He dealt with the emotions of being in the wilderness, and now he's filled and empowered by the Spirit, and miracles are about to happen through his ministry, one after another after another. But you shall receive power. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. Not your neighbor, you. You are here to live a powerful walk with God today. Praise God. His ultimate goal is to bring us to a depth of relationship where there's constant output from our lives of signs, wonders, and miracles. Listen, you're never going to get a miracle unless you're willing to say to somebody, "Can I pray for you?" Do you know, I've never, ever had anyone decline me. Never. I've talked to complete strangers and said, "Would you mind if I just bless you in prayer?" I've never had anyone turn me down. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he's about to transfer something from you into their life that's going to start turning their life around in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus left the 99 to go in search of the one lost sheep. And I just want to say this. God fills you with power to reach the lost, to minister to people who don't know Jesus, and to see his power touch their lives and turn their lives around. People will not turn on a weak, watered-down version of shallow entity. They need the real deal. They need the power, and you're his ambassador, and you're his representative. So if the power can flow through you, to touch them, we're going to see a lot more people come to the Lord in the next few years than we've ever seen before, because we've said, "Lord, I'm going deeper. Lord, I'm going deeper. I'm not going to stay in the shallows. I'm going to go out where I can only tread water, where it feels really dangerous. Feels like there could be a few sharks around here, but I'm going to keep going deeper with you, because I know when I go deeper, adventure begins. People start recognizing that you're with me, and you begin to open doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open. And before long, signs, wonders, and miracles are beginning to happen in people's lives because you've gone deeper with God." Let's stand to our feet this morning. This church is not called to be a cruise ship. God is calling us to be a battleship. There's a massive difference between a cruise ship and a battleship. They might navigate the same waters, but what's going on board that ship is completely different. We are not here to be entertained. We are here for the real deal. And I want to ask you, if there is an ache within your heart to go deeper with the Holy Spirit, can I just see your hand this morning? Because God wants to see those hands. And I see that ache within our lives. And He sees it. You imagine what can happen in this church if we take this for the real deal. If we jump on this opportunity to realize how we can go deeper in these five dimensions with God, then you're going to begin to see your week being interrupted with God events that are taking place with people you've never met before. I can sense it and I can feel it right now. God's actually placing people's faces on some of your minds right now because He's showing you that He's getting them ready to know the touch of Jesus upon their lives. And if you've come to the meeting today and you have not yet engaged the Holy Spirit, you haven't been to the first place of being born by the Spirit, today is your day. Today God has led you here for the purpose of receiving His Son and the Spirit of God coming into your life. Could we just bow our heads just for a moment? If you know today that you're not here by accident, that God has called you to be here because He wants to change your life. He wants to change everything about you and make it so much better. I can't tell you how much better my life became after I gave up the drugs, the booze, all that other stuff that went with my former life. Every day I became hungry for God. Every day was an adventure and still is all these years later. God wants to give that to you today. So I'm asking you, while every head is bowed and God is looking on our hearts today, if you would like to take that first step of being born by God's Spirit and entering His family, if that's you today, can I see your hand? Nobody else is looking around. I want to see that hand. Is there anybody here today? God bless you. Is anybody else today? God bless you, sir. Thank you. Is there anybody else that wants to take that journey of being born again? Being renewed, a brand new start. The old is gone. The new has come. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus, for those that have responded to your cry this morning. I want to pray with you this morning. And as I'm praying, you're praying with me today. And you're reaching out to God through this prayer and engaging your spirit today to receive Him. Dear Father God, you can pray with me. Dear Father God, I come to you as my lifeline. I turn away from what I know is sinful. And I repent. And I ask you to forgive me and wash me clean this morning. I receive Jesus Christ. And I invite Him to come into my life by the Holy Spirit, that I'm becoming born again. Right now, I receive your Spirit into my life, and I thank you for that right now. Show me how to live, Lord. Show me how to take each step. Holy Spirit, speak to me and lead me in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. Praise God. If you raised your hand this morning, I want you to tell somebody that you came with what's happened. And I want you to ask them to pray for you after you leave this service. So God bless you, everybody. I hope that's been helpful today. I pray that you'll be able to enter another dimension of depth in your walk with the Holy Spirit.